Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches, and we begin at the very bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis, which is the last two words. We have the Girsa Omar Rabba, albeit in the Masoros Hashas, he brings down that the Girsa should be from the Rosh Omar Rabba. In any event, either Rabba or Rabba said the following, we turn to Chav Ches Amud Aleph. If a person heard Shoma Miktsas Tekiya Babor, he heard part of the Tekiya while he was in the pit, with Miktsas Tekiya Asfas Habor, and the other part of the Tekiah of the shofar was heard al sfas ha-ba'or. We'll explain more what this exactly means later in the Gemara today, but for now we'll just understand it simply that he heard part of the shofar blast from the pit and some of it from outside the pit. Miksas tekiah ba'or, u miksas tekiah al sfas ha-ba'or. So yotza, so Rava or Rabba says you are yotze in that situation, fulfilling your obligation to hear the shofar blast. Miksas tekiah, however, kodim shi'ali umar ha-shachar, but in what sounds like it's an analogous situation, you would not be yotze if you heard half of the shofar blast before Amud HaShachar, which is when it's still nighttime, and the tekiah blast must be heard during the daytime. So Olas HaShachar is the end of the night and the beginning of the day. So you heard half of it before Olas HaShachar, Amud HaShachar, Olas HaShachar, Amud HaShachar, the same thing. So you heard part of the blast before the official day has started, and part of the blast after the official day has started, then you're not yotze. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: Amalei Abayi, Maishno Hasom Debrina Kula Tekiya B'Chiyuva V'Leka Hochanami Brina Kula Tekiya B'Chiyuva V'Leka. Why should there be a difference between the half of the sound heard from the pit and half of it heard outside from the pit, and that was good, whereas half of the tekiya heard before the Amud HaShachar and half heard after the Amud HaShachar is not good? Aren't both of them exactly the same? Half is good and half is not good. So why, Rava or Rabba, did you say that it's good in the case of partially in the pit, partially outside the pit? That is perfectly good, but partially before Amud HaShachar, partially after Amud HaShachar is not good. They seem to be the exact same thing. So Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, is Abayi's question really a good question? Are the two really comparable? In fact, Hossam, in the case of the question that Abayi brought down, where you heard part of the blast before Amud HaShachar and then part of the blast after Amud HaShachar, so Laila Zlav Zman Chiyuvuhu Klal says that you weren't Yotzi at all with the half of the blast that was before the Amud HaShachar, because Laila is not the Zman for Tkiya Shofar. So therefore, in that scenario, you only heard half of the blast. However, here, in regards to the bar, where you blew in the bar and you had the sound going in the bar and outside the bar, so in this situation, hacha bar is a makum chiyivahu. Blowing in the bar is a perfectly good way for somebody to be yotze. Again, they often were being persecuted and they had to go hide in caves and they would blow inside the cave. So therefore, it's perfectly acceptable to blow inside the cave. A person can hear it outside the cave. That's not a problem in the ikker sound itself. So hacha bar makum chiyivahu, inside the bar, inside the pit, it's a perfectly good, obligated place for a person to hear shofar. Laos and om debabar, for those that are listening, inside the bar, it's perfectly good. And therefore, if you heard the blast of an adequate amount inside the pit, you're yotze, even though the other part wasn't good. As opposed to when you had the blast that was blowing before Amud HaShachar, that's absolutely not good. That's not considered good at all. The Gemara says that implies Lameima, the Sova Rabba, that's the Girsa that we have, or Rava, whoever it was that said this din, Rabba or Rava, they obviously hold that you don't have to hear the entire blast. As long as you hear enough of the blast to fulfill the shir, you're okay. Shama Sof Tekiya Belo Tchilas Tekiya, Yotza. Likewise, Mimelo Tchilas Tekiya Belo Sof Tekiya, also Yotza. We had this in yesterday's shir, the same exact point is being made today, that Rabba or Rava would say that you don't have to hear the entire blast. As long as you heard enough of the blast to be yotze, the fact that some of it was good and some of it was not good, that doesn't hurt you. So according to Rabba or Rava, since you heard Sof Tekiya, even though you didn't hear Tchilas Tekiya, that's good, yotze. And likewise, Memela, if you heard the beginning of the Tekiya without hearing the end of the Tekiya, then it also would be good. But wait a second, that seems to disagree with the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, Toshma. Toka barishona umoshach bishnia kishtayim. If a person blew a long blast, we spoke yesterday about, for example, at the end of the first series of tkiya, trua, tkiya. So the third sound is a tkiya. And then the fourth sound, the next line of tkiya, trua, tkiya, is also a tkiya. So you have the third sound, which is a tkiya, the fourth sound, which is a tkiya. And instead of blowing two separate four-second tkiyas, so he said, the person, in fact, just blew 1 8-second tkiya. And he says, let's chop it in two, even though it wasn't chopped in two. And therefore, let us be yotzei with two blasts. Here's 1 4-second and here's the other 4 seconds. Because according to Rabba or Rabba, it's perfectly acceptable to hear the beginning without the end, or the end without the beginning. So therefore, how come our Mishnah said, Tokha Barishona Umoshach Mishneh Kishtayim, ain't be other will achas? Why do you only have one tekiah in that situation? Vamai. Tisalik lo bitarte. You should be able to count that it's two tekiahs, because you don't have to hear the entire blast. That's what Rabba or Rava just told us. So Gemara says, no, as we answered yesterday, Pesuke tekiyasa mehadade, to separate the sound of a single blast and make it into two blasts, lo paskid, and that we don't go and separate it. So that's not a shaila on Rabba / Rava. Try again, Toshma. Atokeh l'socha bor, if somebody blows into the bor, o l'tocha dus, o l'tocha pita, and this was the mission we also had yesterday. If somebody blew the shofar in the bor, which is the pit, or the dus we said was a cistern, and again, another underground cavernous type of structure to collect water, o l'tocha pita, we said it was a chavis gadol, a large barrel. So it depended what you heard. Im kol shofar shama, if you actually heard the call of the shofar, then yotza. But if all you heard was the echo, then that's not called hearing the shofar. Im kol havari shama lo yotza. And again, the Gemara says, Bamai, why would that be the case? Before you can hear the echo, there had to have been the sound of the shofar. So why don't we just say, ignore the echo and just concentrate on that which was the sound of the shofar? Bamai, therefore, would you be yotze? Lepuk betchilas tekiya, mikame dile arveb kola. Be yotze with the first sound of the tekiya before it mixed in with the echo. But you heard enough of the sound to be yotze. So therefore, this can't be the proper understanding of Rabba or Rabba, that you don't have an entire tkiya. You can be yotze with only the tchila or the sof. So the Gemara says, ki kama Rabba, what Rabba really said, or Rabba, betokeya va'ola nafshei. You know what the case was? The person blew inside the pit, and then he exited the pit while he was still blowing, so part of the sound was blown in the pit where he was, and then part of the sound, the continued sound, was blown outside the pit where he was, and therefore he heard half of it perfectly well inside the pit, and then here the second half perfectly well outside the pit. So therefore, he heard the entire call, both in the pit and outside the pit, each time in a place that he was allowed to be yotze, and therefore, that's why Rabba / Rava says that it's good. More questions is, Ihach, is it a Maila member? So now what's the Chiddush? This is so obvious, why would Rabba have to tell it to us? Someone says, no, there is a Chiddush that Rabba is teaching us. Mal detema, I might have said on my own, Zimnin de Mefik Reishay, Vakate shofar babor. I might have thought that his head is outside the pit, but the shofar is still inside the pit. So let's say his ears are outside the pit, and he's hearing what would be the echo, and not the actual blowing of the shofar, which is still inside the pit. And therefore, v'kome arvev kola. And you might have thought that we would be choshesh to this situation and say that he's hearing a mixture of the sound from the pit and this echo. And therefore, kamash v'lom, the chiddush of Rabba, is that we don't concern ourselves with that. Okay. Gemara continues and says, I'm a Rav Yehuda. The Amora Rav Yehuda says, B'shofar shel ola lo yitoka. You're not allowed to go blow with a shofar that came from a korban ola. Korban ola is kulo toktar. It is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. But the hide and the hooves and the horns are not burnt on the Mizbeach. And they're given over to the Kohen. The Balaam usually give the hide to the Kohen. So too, over here, B'shofar shel ola lo yitoka, you shouldn't go and blow it, because it really belongs to Hekdesh. However, V'yimtoka, Rav Yehuda says, if you did in fact blow it, you are yotze, because there is no me'ila. Once the zrika of the dam is done for the ola, so then there no longer is a problem of me'ila. However, B'shofar shel shlamim lo yitoka, you're also not allowed to blow a shofar that came from a carpenter shlamim, but here, v'yimtoka lo yotze. Here, according to Rav Yehuda, if you did blow it, b'di'evid, you're still not yotze. So the obvious question is, what's the difference between a shofar of an ola, that you are yotze b'di'evid, and the shofar of a shlamim, that you're not yotze even b'di'evid? My timer. So Gemara says, ola bas me'ilu, and ola is kodesh kodoshim, and has a din of me'ila to it, which is applicable until the zrika of the dam. So therefore, kivan de marbo, it has the potential to have me'ilu with it, nafgalon l'chulin, as soon as you go and use it, so therefore you have committed me'il on it, and when you commit me'il on something, it removes it from being hektish. You chayiv carbon me'il if you by accident did this, and you have to pay the principal plus a chomesh, but it no longer is hektish. And that's why yoyotze b'di'evad, the Gemara wants to suggest. Since it's nafgalon l'chulin, therefore you're able to be yotze with a b'di'evad. But shlomim, which is called shekalim, and only the emurim after the shechita become kodshei kodoshim. So the emurim is not what we're interested in. There's only mila on the emurim, but there's no mila on the rest of the animal. So paradoxically, that makes it worse. Shlomim, the lav b'nei mi'ilin in korban shlomim, which is kodshei kalim, is not capable of having mi'ila. So therefore, since it's lav b'nei mi'ilin in hu, isurhu derochiv b'hu, v'lonofke l'chulin. So the isur stays with it, that it's kodshim. And even though there's no din of me'ila, but it still belongs to kashim. It never gets removed from the status of kashim by me'ila. And therefore, you're not allowed to go and use it because it's not chulin. It belongs to kashim. This is the answer the Gemara wants to give to why an ola b'di'evit is good to use the shofar of an ola, but the shofar of a shlomim is not good even b'di'evit. Rava doesn't like this. Maskev lo Rava. Rava says, wait a second. Emasmal, when exactly did the me'ila occur? The me'ila occurs after you got some benefit. In other words, after you blew the shofar, that's when the mi'ilah occurs. So the boss of the car took out. So it only was lifted from belonging to hektish to now being chulin only after the blast was done. Lebasa de taka, so kikar taka, when he was actually blowing it, b'isur taka, it still belonged to hektish. So why again to the carbon ola, the shofar shel ola, be good b'di'evad? So therefore, Rava says that's not the answer that the Gemara tried to give. Ela Omar Rava. Rava says echod zeh ve'echod zeh lo yotza. In fact, Rav Yehuda is wrong. Rav Yehuda had said that by the ola b'di'evad you're good, by the shlomim you're not good even b'di'evad. That's what Rav Yehuda had said. But Rava says neither case is good. Both the ola and the shlomim b'di'evad lo yotza. But then Hadar Omar, he then retracted and he said no. Actually, both are good. Echod zeh ve'echod zeh yotza. Both the shofar shel ola and the shofar shel shlomim b'di'evad are good. You yotze with them if you blew them. Why? Because what's the iser? The iser is you're getting hanoah from it and it belongs to hektish. Mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu. Mitzvahs aren't considered something that you get hanoah from. If you get the performance of the mitzvah, that's not called that you got hanoah. It means you performed the mitzvah. But since you didn't get any hanoah from it, so therefore there's no problem that it belongs to hektish and it's an ola or a shlomim b'di'evad. If you use them, then you would be yotze, both the ola and the shlomim. That's Rava's final answer. Rav Yehuda now says another statement. Amar Rav Yehuda, b'shofar shel avodah zarah lo yitaka. You're not allowed to go blow a shofar that belongs to avodah zarah. Again, b'di'evad, however, v'yim taka. If you in fact blew it, yotze. You were in fact yotze. However, b'shofar shel ir anidachas, a shofar that belongs to a city that was an ir anidachas. An ir anidachas is a city where the majority of the people worship the avodah zarah, and that entire city's items have to be burned. Even the tzaddikim who live in that city, who didn't worship the avodah zarah, all their property, it's a knas, because they live in such a city, so all their property is omed lisarif, is to be burned. So therefore, in the shofar shel ir anidachas, you're not allowed to blow l'chatrila, lo yitaka, and even v'yim taka lo yotza. Now, the obvious question again here is why by Avodah Zarah, if you blew it, you're Yotzi v'di'evad, but by the Ir Nidachas, if you blew it, you're not Yotzi v'di'evad. So Gemara says, my time, what's the rationale? So the Gemara says, Ir Nidachas is supposed to be Omed Lisarif. It's all to be burned. And something to be burned is Kituse Mechsas Shiura. We have this a lot in the Gemara in Sukkah, that if you have something that is to be burned, it's Omed Lisarif, so then it is considered as if it's already burnt, and therefore it doesn't have the shear. So we said by a lulav, or by the hadasim, or the esrog, or whatever it was that we're dealing with, that requires a shear. So if it's omed lisarev, if it's something that is to be burnt, like an ir anidachas, the property, so it's considered as if it's already burnt, and therefore it's considered as if it doesn't have a shear. So in this situation, it's as if the shofar doesn't have a shear. Paradoxically, avodah zarah, which is worse, but avodah zarah is not omed lisarif. It's only something that you're not allowed to get hanah from. And therefore, since mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu, so therefore, paradoxically, b'di'evad, if you blew the shofar shel avodah zarah, you'd be yotze. But with the ir anidachas, it doesn't have the shear because kisusi mechsas shi'ura, therefore b'di'evad, it's no good. Amar Rava. Rava tells us some other dinim. Hamudor hanoah mechavero. If a person says, I ask myself to get hanoah from Ruvain. So Shimon says he asks himself to get hanoah from Ruvain. Nevertheless, mutu litkoalo tekiya shemitzvah. Nevertheless, even though Shimon said, I ask myself to get hanoah from Ruvain, Ruvain can blow shofar for him. Why is that? Because, again, mitzvah slav lehanas nito. It's not cool that you're getting hanah from it. So you're not allowed to get hanah from it. You can't eat lunch at his house. You can't go and have him do you some favor. But to blow shofar, which is a mitzvah, that's not called hanah. Mitzvah slav lehanas nito. And therefore, you could be yotze with his blowing of the shofar, even though you're mudur hanah from it. Likewise, hamudur hanah mi shofar. If you say that the shofar is also to me, so then mutulit kol bot kiyashu mitzvah. Somebody blows on that shofar, which you said is also for you hanah, so then you're still allowed to be yotze. If you're going to use that shofar as a hammer, so then you wouldn't be allowed to. However, since mitzvah slav lehon is nitnu, and all you're doing is getting the benefit of having the mitzvah performed for you, so therefore you could use it. That's what Rava says. Similarly, Rava says some additional laws. Hamudur hanah mi chaveiro. If a person says, Shimon says, I ask myself to get hanah from Reuven. Nevertheless, Reuven would be allowed to mazel of mechatas b'imos ha-gishomim. During the winter season, when it's rainy and people don't want to become wet necessarily, it's colder. So therefore, when Shimon became tamei and he needs somebody to do the hazor on shlishi and shvi of the waters of the paraduma, the mechatas. So if Reuven does that, even though Shimon had said, Reuven, I asked myself to get hanah from you, then that's not called hanah, because it's in the winter, he's not getting any physical benefit from having the cold water on him. And since mitzvah slavli knows nitnu, so Reuven could actually do that for him. However, in the summer he can't. Because Gemara will explain, because you're getting benefit from the cool water on you in the hot summer. So therefore, while it's a mitzvah, and therefore there's no problem with you getting hanah from the mitzvah, because we say mitzvah slavli knows nitnu, but here you're also getting a physical pleasure at the same time, and that's why you can't do it when Shimon asked hanah from Reuven, so Reuven can't schwitz him with the mechatas during the summer months, because he's getting not only the halachic benefit, but he's getting some physical benefit as well, and that's why it's aser. Similarly, hamudah hanah mimayin. If somebody says, I ask myself to get any benefit from this well, from this spring, so then tovel bo tevilo shemitzu yosei gesham. If he has to go to the mikvah, there's a perfectly good mikvah this mayan, so he's allowed to go and immerse himself if he needs a tefillah, but only in the winter months because he's not getting any physical pleasure. It's cold, and he's not getting physical pleasure from bathing in this mikvah, in this mayan, and therefore he is tovel in it a tefillah shel mitzvah. However, in the summer, when he's also getting a physical benefit from it, it's nice and cool, he's hot, he schwitz, and now he's going in the mayan in this spring, and he's getting benefit from it, avalobi mosachama, he's not allowed to if he asked himself getting hanah from this mayan. Mor continues and says, they sent to Shmuel the following statement, Shochul Eli Avua to Shmuel, the following halacha, Kufo ve'ochel matzah yotzah. If a person was forced to eat matzah on Pesach, he is yotzah, his obligation of eating matzah on Pesach. So Shmuel says, what exactly is the situation? Kufo man, who forced this person to eat matzah? If you're going to tell me, Ilema, that it was Kifo shade, that it was a shade. Again, we don't understand what shade them are. Shade them are these demons, these creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that in some ways like a malach, in some ways like a person, and the shade forced them to go and eat the matzah, so that wouldn't help us, then he wouldn't be yotze. But Tanya, because we learned in the following Brisa, that if a person is sometimes considered a bardas, and at other times he's considered a not bardas. In other words, when a shade goes in you, you're considered a lav bardas, a person who has a demonic possession. We don't exactly understand what that means, but in the times of Gemara, there were people that were possessed by a shade, and the shade made them to be a not bardas. They weren't considered compass mentis. They weren't considered mentally competent. So therefore, if you're telling me that it was a shade that forced him to go and eat the matzah on Pesach, so then the Braisa said, if a person is eating cholim, if a person is sometimes sane, cholim means over here that he's healthy, or itim shota, other times he is not mentally competent, so it depends. Kishu cholim, if the person is healthy, if he's intelligent, if he's a pikeach, so then hareyu kibikeach cholvar, even though at other times he's possessed by the shade, so at other times he's temporary insanity, but when he doesn't have the temporary insanity, so anything that he does is considered an act of a mentally competent person. So if he would eat the matzah while he was mentally competent, of course he would be yotze, even though at other times he's mentally incompetent. But kishu shota, if he ate the matzah while the shade had come inside of him, so then he's not considered a bardas. So areyu kishota l'chodvar. And how could he say that he was fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah when the shade was with him? Because he's not a bardas at that point in time. So what exactly is this din that they sent to the avua de Shmuel, that if it was somebody forced you to eat the matzah, you're yotze? So Rav Ashi says, Shekifo Parsium. No, it wasn't a shade. It was the Goyim, the Parsium, the Persians. They forced him to eat the matzah. Whatever the reason, the Persians forced this guy to eat. Maybe he was on a hunger strike complaining about religious persecution, and they forced him to eat. They gave him matzah on Pesach. So since he was forced to eat the matzah, he knew he was eating the matzah, and he knew it was Pesach, so therefore he was Yotze, even though he didn't want to go and eat the matzah on his own. Amar Rava, Rava said, and that's the Girsa that we have. Again, in the Masoras HaShas, here he flips it around, he brings out the Girsa from the Rush, that this should be Rabba. In any event, either Rava here or Rabba said, Zoso Meres, based upon this din that we just brought down, that they sent to Avuah de Shmuel, Zoso Meres, Hatokeya Loshir, if somebody is blowing the shofar for the purposes of just making nice sounds, Yotza. Nevertheless, somebody who hears this would be able to fulfill his obligation. There's a very, very famous story from the Abarbanel, the times of the Abarbanel in Spain during the Spanish Inquisition, that there was a great person who had become a Murano. He hadn't been able to muster enough courage to either leave Spain or to go and be Mosin Nefesh. But he was still a great person. And he arranged to have a concert to show off to the king all the different musical instruments. And it was a concert that was on Rosh Hashanah. And he made sure that they also blew the shofar. He said, this is a very beautiful instrument and this is the way you blow it. And all the people were Yotze in that way. All the Moranos were able to be Yotze, the mitzvah of shofar blowing, right under the eyes of the Goyim, who were obviously looking out for any Morano Jews. In any event, Rava tells us over here that if somebody blows a shofar for the purposes of making a song, but he blows the tkiya, shvarim trua, tkiya, he blows all the right sounds, so then somebody who listens is Yotze. Where it says, obviously, pshita, hainuha, how is this any different than the case of the Parsim forcing somebody to go and eat the matzah on Pesach? So why is there any chiddush over here in what Rava says? So Rava says, no, there is a chiddush. Wow, the tema, I might have said, hasam, in the case where the Persians forced them to eat the matzah, echol matzah or marachmana v'ho'achal. The Torah says that you have to eat matzah. And in bottom line is, this person ate matzah. He knew he was eating matzah. He knew it was Pesach. So they were forcing him to do so. Nevertheless, he knew he was eating matzah on Pesach. So therefore, he was yotzei the mitzvah. But we turn to Chav Ches Amid Beis. In our case, however, where the person heard the beautiful music that was being made by the shofar, and it happened to be a tkiya, a trua, and a tkiya. So, aval hocha, the pasuk doesn't say just listen to the sounds. It says zichron trua ksiv. The pasuk says it has to be a zichron trua, which means that v'hai misaseg ba'amahu, that you would have thought that this person was just blowing it to make sounds, he's not blowing a zichron trua. Albeit a zichron trua came out, that's why Kamash Vlon, Rava says that you are Yotze. Because the bottom line is, he knew he was blowing a shofar sound, and it came out, the person listened to it, heard that sound, and therefore that's why he was Yotze. What do you see from here? Amo Kosova Rava Mitzvos Eino Tzuchas Kavana. Obviously, the Persian person eating the mitzvah, he didn't intend to do this mitzvah of eating the matzah on Purim, and the person listening to the sound didn't intend to go and listen to the sound of the shofar. The bottom line is, in both cases, they did it without kavana, and nevertheless they were yotze. So we can see from here that Rava holds that mitzvahs ain't tzuchas kavana. Gemara challenges this. Gemara says, wait a second. Eisvei, Gemara says, Hayakari by Torah, we learned in the Mishnah in Brachos that if a person was reading in the Torah, v'igiyas mana mikra, and it became time to read Kriyashma, in other words, it was the Zman of Kriyashma, and he was reading the Parsha Shema in the Torah. V'igiyas mana mikra, so he's up to reading Shema in the Torah. So im kivein libo, if he had intention, then it was, right now the Havamin is, if he had intention that I'm going to fulfill now the mitzvah of Kriyashma, the mitzvah of Darais, according to almost all the poskim of reading Kriyashma, so if he's reading the Torah and he has in mind that he's going to read it now to be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyashma, im kivein libo yotze, only in that situation is Yotze, but im la, if he didn't have kavanah to be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyashma, the implication is that lo yotze, im lav lo yotze. Now, when it says kivin libo, my lav kivin libo, doesn't mean kivin libo lotzeis, and therefore you see the mitzvahs do need kavana, and Akasha on Rav who says that mitzvahs ain't tzuchas kavana. So he says, no. He had in mind when it said im kivin libo, it meant not that he had in mind to be mechavin for the mitzvah, lo, not for that. Elo likros. He just had in mind that he was going to read the words. Where it says likros, hakokari. What do you mean he had in mind to read it? He was reading it, so of course he had in mind to read it. So he says, no. There's a famous understanding over here, Bekore Lahagia. He wanted to make sure that the Torah wasn't missing any letters. So he pronounced each word as it's spelled out. So he read it Totefes instead of Totofos, for example. So if a person is reading it, Bekore Lahagia, so then he wouldn't pronounce the words correctly. But if the person intended to read, not lahagia, so then he in fact would be yotzei as long as he intended to go and read it. But that's what it meant when he was mechaving to read it as opposed to lahagos. But lahav davka, that he intended to be yotzei the mitzvah. So therefore, Rav is okay. Mitzvah ain't sirchus kavanah is still acceptable. Try again. Toshma, we learn the following Mishnah. Our Mishnah, haya over achori beis haknesses. If a person is passing behind the shul, or oshaya beis osamach lebeis haknesses, or his house is right next to the shul, and he hears them blowing shofar or reading the Megillah in the shul, v'shama kol shofar or kol Megillah, and he wants to be yotze. So im kivin libo yotze, v'im lahav lo yotze. So again, this Mishnah says if he was mechavein, which seems to be saying that he had intention to fulfill the mitzvah, only then is he yotzei. But if he didn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah, he's not yotzei. So isn't this a kasha and rubber? My lab doesn't mean im kivin libo lotzeis, and therefore it's a kasha and rubber. How can you say that mitzvah ain't tzirchus kavanah here? The Mishnah says that you have to be mechavein. So Gemara says again, lo, it doesn't mean to be mechavein to do the mitzvah. It meant lishmoa. He had to intend to hear the shofar, not to be yotzei the mitzvah. He had to intend to hear the shofar, or he had to intend to hear the Megillah. What's his lishma? What do you mean he had intention to hear it? He heard it. What do you need intention to hear it for? So he says, no. Savor, he might have thought, chamor bi'amo, that this wasn't a musical instrument that was being played. He thought this might have been a donkey that was braying. And therefore, if he thought that it was a donkey that's braying, then he's not yotze. But as long as he knew that it was a shofar that was making noise, so then even though he didn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah, since mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah, according to Rava, he would be yotzei. Word tries again. Eisvei, they asked Rava from the following braisa, niskavein shomea velo niskavein mashmia. What happens if the one who's listening had kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah? Velo niskavein mashmia, but the one who was blowing, who was making the noise, so he didn't have kavanah to be motzi anybody else. Then, lo yotza. Now, this seems to be saying that your mitzvah shlichus kavanah. Unless the Brisa tells us, unless achi iskavein both shomeya umashmiya. Now, both of them had to have intention to go and be yotzei. Now, bishlom iskavein mashmiya, we could already answer like we did before, that the person intended to be mashmiya, velo iskavein shomeya, but the person was blowing, didn't intend to be motzi him. So that works out. We can say in that situation, be shlomo, everything is okay. If niskavin the mashmiya, the person who was blowing, he had kavana to make a sound, and lo niskavin shomeya, and the person who was listening didn't have kavana that this was the sound of a shofar. So that's why lo yotza. We understand why you're not yotze. Because he thought, kisover chamor bi'amuhu. He thought this is the braying of a donkey, and that's why he's not yotze. However, elo niskavin shomeya, if the person listening had kavanah and he knew that this was a shofar and not a donkey, but velo niskavin mashmiya, but the person who was blowing on the shofar didn't have any kavanah, so then what exactly are we talking about? Hechem ishkachas lo, la betokei lashir, aren't we talking here that he was just blowing it just to make a beautiful sound, not to be yotzei the mitzvah shofar, and we say that he's not yotzei, so you see that mitzvah strichas kavanah and kashan rava. Where says, no, still not a kasha, because there is a potential over here, not that he was besokei al shir, that he was intending to blow it for the shir, maybe he was just blowing it to clear it out from dust. Dilma de koma nabeach nabuche. He was just blowing into it. For whatever the reason, he wanted to undust it. He wanted to blow away the dust. He wanted to go and clear it out. So therefore, dilma de koma nabeach nabuche. So he blew into the shofar, but he had no intention of making sounds from the shofar, and therefore that's why in that situation he got yotze. But it has nothing to do with mitzvah strichas kavanah, and we haven't proven Rava wrong. Try again. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, Elameyato, based upon your idea that mitzvah sein tzrichas kavanah, so then the halacha should be, Hayoshi bashmini basukah yilaka. If somebody sleeps in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael on the eighth day, which is in Eretz Yisrael, the Shemini Atzeres, there's no sake of the Yoma, and therefore there's absolutely no obligation to sit in the sukkah, and therefore if you sit in the sukkah, you sleep in the sukkah, you're over Baltosef. So then such a person should get Malkus. But if he fell asleep in the sukkah, according to you, Rava, he had no kavana to sleep in the sukkah. So therefore, if he fell asleep in the sukkah on the seventh day, and now it's the eighth day, so he's sleeping in the sukkah on the eighth day, according to you, Rava, he should get malchus. But that's not the din. According to you, though, Rava, he has no kavana to do the mitzvah. Big deal. Mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana. The bottom line is, he's over bal tosef by sleeping in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael. No sfeika d'yoma, also to sleep in the sukkah. he should get Malkus. But that's not the din. But according to your Rav, it should be the din. Kasha, in your opinion, mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana. So what would Rav answer? Amalo, Rav says back to Abaye. No. Under what circumstances do we say that mitzvah tzrichas kavana? Ani Omer, mitzvos eino over alein ela bizmanon. Here, the only time it can be over Baal Tosef is if it's during the Zman. If a person were to go and put on five parchments on his tefillin during the Zman to wear tefillin, then he's over Baal Tosef. But he wears it at night, then he's not over Baal Tosef. So too, Rabbi says to Abaye, this is the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres. There is no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. So it's not the Zman to sit in the sukkah. You can't be over Baal Tosef. Shani Omer, mitzvahs ain't over alein for Baal Tosef, ela bizmanon. You can only be over Baal Tosef during the time that you're obligated in the mitzvah, and now that Shemina Tzeres, you're not obligated in the mitzvah. More questions is, Masi Rav Shaman Bar Abba. Rav Shaman Bar Abba says, minayin lekohen sholo leduchin, if a kohen goes up to the duchin, to go and duchin, shelo yomar, he shouldn't say additional brachos. Ho, v'nosa li Torah, rishus levarech es Yisrael, osif brocha achas mishali. You're only allowed to say the three psukim. Yerech Hashem Yishrech, Yer Hashem Ponem Alech Vichnech, Yisrael Hashem Ponem Alech Vichnech, Shalom. That's it. Those three psukim. This guy says, I'm going to add my own psukim. How do we know he's not allowed to do that? For example, the Gemara says, Kigon, the person wants to add on, he says, Osef Broch Asmi Shali, Kigon, Hashem Lokei Avosechem, Yosef Aleichem, Kochem, Elef Piyomim, Yerech Hashem, Kasher Dibir Lochem. He wants to add on that pasuk. How do we know he's not allowed to do so? Talmud Lomar. Because the pasuk says, Lo Sosifu Al Hadover. There's an Isser of Baal Tosef. Now, if you, Rava, are saying that you can only over without Baal Tosef in the Zman that the mitzvah is occurring, so here the guy finished his three regular psukim of duchening, of Birchas HaKohen. For Ha'ocha, Kivan de Baruch Le, he finished the third pasuk of the Birchas Kohanim. You saw Hashem Ponav Alecha. The same Lecha Shalom. He finished that, so now he's no longer involved in Birchas Kohanim. It's past the Zman for the mitzvah. So why can't he go in there on other things? He shouldn't be over Baal Tosef. Kivan the Baruch Le, overlay Zmanei. Nevertheless, Uktonei the Avar, Kash on you, Rava again. How can you tell me he's not over Baal Tosef, even if he doesn't have Kavana? So what it says, Hokavai Askinon, below Sayim. Oh! Who said he finished the third pasuk? He said the first pasuk, and then he wanted to add on Hashem Elokei Avosechem Yosef Aleichem. He wasn't done. Igor says, well, Tanya, read the Brisa. The Brisa says, seeing, he finished reading all three of the psukim. So how can you tell me he didn't finish it? So Igor says, no, maybe it means seeing, it meant seeing bracha achas. He only finished Yivarecha Hashem Yishmarecha. He said the first pasuk, that's it. So Igor says, Vatanya, seeing, kol brachosa. But keep on reading the Brisa. The Brisa says, no, he finished all three of the psukim of Birchas Kohanim. So how can you tell me that he's still in the middle of Birchas Kohanim? So what do you see? You can be over Baal Tosef even after the Birchas Kohanim is done. Therefore, you should be able to be over Baal Tosef even on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, when there's no longer mitzvahs in the sukkah. But says, no. Shaini Hocha, it's different over here in Birchas Kohanim. Because guess what? Kivan de'ilu misrami le'tzibur achrina hodo mevarech. Since if you went to another shul, he died in the Tashkava minion. And now he's going to the later minion to meet up with his wife. And they're up to duchening, and he goes up to duchen. So since a person can duchen more than once, it's still considered like he's in the midst of the mitzvah, kule yom ezmanihu, and that's why he would be over Baal Tosef, even though he had finished the three psukim in the morning, but he could still say them later in the day, therefore it's still considered within the mitzvah of duchening, and therefore he'd be over Baal Tosef. And it doesn't prove anything that the person would be chayav malkus on Shmini Atzeres, so sleeping in the sukkah, Rava could still say, no, in that situation, it's not over Baal Tosef because over zmani. Now the Gemara wants to prove that Rav is right. Umino tema. How do we know that Rav's point is correct, that a person, when it's over his money, can't be over Baal Tosef? So this is a Mishnah, the Tanan. We learn in the following Mishnah in Zvachim. It says, Hanitonim b'matona achas. There are different types of korbanos that have different types of applications. For example, a Bechor only requires one blood application, whereas a Shlamim requires Shtayim Shin Arba. You put it on the two opposite corners, and you do two at a time on two corners, and then on the other two corners. So it's Shtayim, two applications that are Arba. And then you have a Chatas, for example, that has four applications, one on each corner. So what happens if you have Hanitonim b'matona achas shinis arvu b'nitonim matona achas? If you have, for example, a Bechor that only is requiring to have one blood application and it mixes up with another Bechor that only requires one blood application, so that's Hanitonim b'matona achas shinis arvu b'nitonim matona achas, no problem. You nosnu matona achas. You take the mixture of the blood and you make one blood application. And you want to shach your yotzi no matter what. Likewise, if matan arba, you have a chatas, they're mixed up with another chatas, matan arba. So then, yinoslu b'matan arba, you go put one application on each corner, and it'll have both of the bloods in it, and therefore, you're yotze. Now here's where it gets a little bit tricky. If you have a matan arba, you have a chatas, they got mixed up with matan echos, got mixed up with the b'chor. So now you have a collection of blood, it's an eklisha race, that has some chatas blood and some b'chor blood. Now, if you go put it four times, you're going to be over baltosif because the b'chor only has one application. If you only do one application, you're going to be over lo tigra. You're not allowed to do less than the Torah tells you because you're yotze on the b'chor part, but you're not yotze the chatas part. So what do you do? So this is a famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer omer, yinosnu b'matan arba. Go put four applications, one on each corner. The b'chor didn't need that. So the b'chor had it done. No big deal. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua omer, only yinosnu b'matan echos, only put on one application. B'di'evid yoyotze with the chatas, so you're not ruining the chatas. B'di'evid, as soon as you do one application, you yotze. And this way, you're not over baltosif. So each one says to the other one, why don't you agree with me? Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, hurry over, al baltigra. According to you, you're not doing the three extra applications for the chatas. You're over baltigra. So Rabbi Yeshua says back to him, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, according to you, hurry over, al baltosif. But you're over baltosif by doing the three extra applications on the b'chor that didn't require three extra applications. So each one now goes and stakes out his claim. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, the my way is better. Because lo nemar baltosif elo kishu biatzmo. There's only a problem with baltosif if you have the b'chor blood by itself and you put it on four times, then you'd be over baltosif. But when you have no choice, it's mixed with the chatas and you have to apply the chatas four times, l'chatrila, so then there's no baltosif on the b'chor. What does Rabbi Yeshua do with that? Amar Rabbi Yeshua, he says, no, the exact opposite. Lo nemar baltigra elo kishu biatzmo. There's only a problem of not doing what you're supposed to do, for example, to do the four applications of the chatas, you only do one, then you're over baltigra, that's only when it's by itself. But if it's mixed with the b'chor, so then you're not over baltigra. And I'll also add on, v'odamar Yeshua, kishelo nasata, if you do what I said, you're over baltigra passively. Avarta al baltigra, yes, you're over not doing everything that you should do, but you did an act of omission. You didn't do a physical act. You just didn't do something. And it's much better, if you're going to do an aveira, not to do something, albeit that results in an aveira. V'lo asisa ma'aseh b'yodecha. You didn't do something actively wrong. You're right. You didn't apply the extra three applications. But it's not that you did something. You had an act of omission. But according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, kishin asata, when you go do the four applications of this b'chor, what is in fact happening? You're over baltosif actively. Avartal baltosif yosisa ma'aseh b'yodecha. You physically did something. You applied the b'chor's blood three extra times. So therefore, my way is much better. You're right. Each of us argues the other one is over something. You tell me my guy is over baltigra by not doing all four applications. And I tell you your guy's over baltosif by doing the four applications. But when I say baltigra, it in fact, it's much better because I'm not doing anything wrong. I just didn't do something. Whereas you're actively doing something wrong. That's what Yeshua's response to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, what does that have to do with our Gemara? We're trying to prove Rava's point. Rava had said that you're not over baltosif if it's no longer the Zman. In our case, that we just had the Machlos, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Kivan diyov le matana b'bechor, as soon as you did the matana with the Bechor one time, so then, ois the Bechor, you finish the mitzvah, avra le lizmane, the zman for the Bechor is done. Nevertheless, uktani the avad mishum baltosef, it says you're over baltosef, isn't it because la mishum darminan, kivin the ilu misrami le buchra achrino, hodo mazeh mine, kule yoma zimne, isn't it because he could still do another Bechor, and therefore if he could do another Bechor, so it's like the Kohen, he still could duchen in another minion. Since he could still do another Bechor, it's still considered like he's within the avoda of doing a Bechor, and that's why he's over baltosef. Mor says, not necessarily so. Mimai, who says that that's the case? Maybe, in fact, Dilma, Kesava, Rabbi Yeshua, mitzvos over alein, afilu shlo bizmanen. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua says that you can in fact be over baltosif even if it's not the Zman. So who says there are any other b'chores to do? According to Rabbi Yeshua, you'd be over baltosif even if there are no b'chores to do. And you finish the Zman, and he in fact argues with Rava. So Rava says, no, that's incorrect. Anan hochi kamrinan. This is what we're saying over here. And Rava is correct. Rav Shmon bar Abba, ma'itai ma'shovik ma'snisin, u'mosim mi'braisa, when Rav Shmon Bar Abba asked his question about the Kohen going up to Duchen, if he wants to add on extra things, he's not allowed to add on extra things. So he said that he brought down the Braisa to tell him that you're not allowed to go and do this. Kivin de Baruchle, Orvelez Mane, Viktoni de Avar. Now, why did he bring that Braisa? It's always better to bring a Raya from a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Masnisan, Maitaima, Lo Mosif. Why didn't he bring the Raya from this Mishnah in Zvachim, the Machlokas, Vim Relezi, and Rabbi Yeshua? He should have said, Kivon, Dilu Misramele Buchra Achrina, if he had found another Bukhar to do, Boy Mazemine, Kulayom Zimnihu. He could have done the additional Bukhar because all day long, the entire day, you're kosher to do the applications. So, Braisa Nami, in the Braisa, Kivon the Isrami Tzibur Achrina, if he found another Shul, so Hada Mevarech Kulayom Zmane, he could go Duchen all day long, so why did he not bring that case? Why did he bring Bedapka, the case of the Duchening? So Gemara says, Rashman Bar Abba, Hasim Lo Sagi Lo Yov, because he didn't give the example of the Bechor, because he's obligated to go and bring the blood offering of the Bechor if somebody else brings a Bechor. He can't say, no, I'm not going to do it. However, in the case of the Duchening, Hocha, once a Kohen is Duchened, he's technically potter from Duchening anymore that day. And if he wishes to, he can leave before Ritzei, and he can walk out of the shul. It's a field of choice. If he wishes to, he can duchen a second time. If he doesn't wish to, he doesn't duchen a second time. That's why he brought the raya from duchening rather than from the case of the bechor. And therefore, the kasha returns on Rava, because he specifically, Rav Shimon ben Abba, gave that case because in that situation, the Kohen could arguably have said, I don't wish to go and be involved in the mitzvah anymore. And therefore, technically, he was done with the mitzvah. And that's why Rashman Bar Abba said, here's the raya, that even after the Zman, you could still be over Bal Tosef. So the Kasha returns on Rava. So Rava Amar, Rava says, Lot says, Lo Boy Kavana. I agree that in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah, you don't require Kavana. However, to be over Bal Tosef, that does require kavanah. So therefore, when the person slept in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, he just wanted a place to sleep. He wasn't intending to be over Bal Tosef. In order to be over Bal Tosef, you must have kavanah to be over Bal Tosef, not that it just happens to come your way. So in that situation, I agree, Rava says, that to be over Bal Tosef, you require kavanah. And that's why we don't give malchus to somebody who's asleep in the sukkah without intending to be over Bal Tosef. Aigmor says, "Va matan domin la Rabbi Yeshua de la avor v'lo boy kavana." So then, how come Rabbi Yeshua doesn't let the person go, but he has the mixture of the chatas and the b'chor together? So go do the extra four applications and say, "I don't have kavana to be over Bal Tosef," and therefore you're not being over Bal Tosef if this understanding of Rava is correct. So again, Rava has to change his opinion a little bit. El Omar Rava, Rava says, "This is what I intended." Lot says, lo boy kavana. Mitzvah say nitzvah chas kavana. To be yotzei a mitzvah, you don't require kavana. You just have to intend to do that act. You have to intend to eat. You have to intend to hear the shofar. But lav dafka l'shei mitzvah. And likewise, lavar, in order to be over Bal Tosef, so bizmano, if it's during the right time of the mitzvah, lo boy kavana. Then you wouldn't need to have kavana. So if a person, during the time of the mitzvah, is over Bal Tosef, even though he didn't have kavana, he would in fact be over. Lavor bismano lo boy kavana. But if you want to be over Bal Tosef shelo bismano, then boy kavana. A person would have to have kavana in order to be over the mitzvah. Now the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Zeri l'shamei. Rabbi Zeri said to his shamis, and we turn to Chavtes Amud Aleph, Ichavein utakali. Go and intend to be yotze mi to skavin is Rashi says the koad bishmi lo tzieni yedei chavasi. Go and specifically have in mind to be motzi me in the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. Clearly, Rav Zeira told the shamish, you have to have kavana. Mitzvah strichas kavana. Amo kesavra. He clearly therefore holds that mitzvah strichas kavana, and that's why he told his shamish, mashmiya boy kavana. You who are trying to be motzi me, you have to have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah. Not that you're just intending to make the sounds without anything to do with the mitzvah. So this is a kasha on Rav. Where it says, meisvei, or Mishnah, how you over a chori beis haKnesses, or shall you bayis or shomach beis haKnesses, or shomach kol shofar or kol megillah. Person's either walking outside the shul, or he lives next to the shul, and they blow shofar in shul, or they're reading the megillah in shul. So he said, "Imkivin libo yotzah, vimlo lav lo yotzah." We had said that if he intended to be yotzah, he's yotzah. If he didn't intend to be yotzah, he's not yotzah. Now the Gemara says, "V'chivkivin libo mayhave." How does it help us that he has kavana? After all, Peach, the guy that's blowing the shofar, reading the Megillah, lo komekave na dain to the day, he didn't know that he was there. So he didn't have kavana for you. So if you, Rav Zeir, are saying that mitzvah shrichas kavana, how are you yotzi in this situation? Furthermore, toshma, another brisa that seems to go against what Rav Zeir said, that mitzvah shrichas kavana, niskavin shomeya v'lo niskavin mashmiya. We had this earlier, that if the person who was listening had kavana, but the person who was blowing didn't have kavana, or vice versa, niskavin mashmiya, the person who was blowing had kavana v'lo niskavin shomeya, but the person who was listening didn't have kavana, lo yotze. You're not yotze in both of these situations. Ad shiskavin shomeya mashmiya, the both of them have to have kavana, the one blowing and the one listening. Now, ketani mashmiya dumi doshomeya, the hekish over here, in this Mishnah that says they're both together, so it tells us that they both have to have the same kavana. In other words, ma shomea shomea liatzmo, af mashmia mashmia liatzmo. Just as the person listening is listening for himself, shomea shomea liatzmo, so to the mashmia is mashmia liatzmo. So v'ktani lo yotze. So why isn't he yotze? Why isn't the person who is blowing, why is he not yotze as well? So therefore, with these two kashas on Rav Zeir, the Gemara says that in fact, with the mitzvah srichas kavana is in fact required or not, Rava and Rav Zeir is actually a machlokes tanoim. Tanoihi. The Tanya. We learned in the following brisa. Shomeya, shomeya liatzmo. The one who's listening has to have kavana to listen. However, umashmiya, the one who's blowing, mashmiya lefi darko. However, the person blowing just have to have intention to blow for himself. And if anybody else listens, they're yotzi as well. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. In other words, he doesn't have to have kavana to be motzi the other people. He just has to have kavana for himself. Amr Yosi, Bamedvar Murum, under what circumstances are we talking about Bishaliach Tzibur? That's only if it's talking about a Shaliach Tzibur, because by definition, he's intending to be Motzi everybody who's listening. Avo B'yochid, but an individual person, if he's blowing only for himself, lo yotze, then anybody listening is not going to be yotze unless achi iskavin shomeya umashmiya, unless both of them have kavana. So Rav Zeir follows this opinion of the Bamed Dvar Mamurim that you need to have everybody having kavana, both the one who's blowing the shofar and the one who's listening to the shofar, they both have to have kavana. But the Tanakama over here, he holds like Rava that mitzvah sein srichas kavana, and as long as the person is intending to blow, so then other people could be yotze with his intention to blow. I know the last part of the Gemara was a little bit difficult, but there's a good break point at the next Mishnah, so with this we conclude today's shiur.